Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107, Sunday, second class, November 27, 2022, Romans.
All right, as we get ready for part two, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Romans 5, 6 through 8 so far sounds like this. For while we were still weak, powerless, helpless, hopeless, yet Christ died spiritual death on the cross as a substitute for the ungodly, all unbelievers. At the exact right time. Indeed, very rarely will anyone die in behalf of a righteous person, someone with human virtue and honor. Indeed, possibly in behalf of a good person, someone might even be brave enough to die. But, conjunction of contrast, but God demonstrates his own love, virtue love, specifically impersonal love for all, to us, all mankind, in that while we were yet sinners, at our absolute worst, Christ died spiritual death as a substitute for us. And we started to pull this together. One of the attributes of the essence of God, God is love. For we studied 1 John 4, 7 to 10, 1 John 4, 16 to 21. There are a book in each paragraph there in 1 John 4. And I'm looking forward to teaching all of that. God is, point two, God is love. And the word for love is agape, virtue love. Three, God is virtue love. Point four, God is the unfailing source of all virtue love. Virtue love comes from God. Five, therefore virtue love is the ultimate objective that God requires of every believer. And we are studying this in great detail in our Thursday night class, 1 John. That brings us to point six. In fact, the uniform of honor that the church age believer is commanded to put on is the uniform of virtue love. The uniform of honor that the church age believer is commanded to put on is the uniform of virtue love. Turn over to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Therefore, as God's elected ones, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves. This is putting on the uniform of honor. What is the uniform of honor? Virtue love. Having virtue love brought to completion in your heart. That's the uniform of honor. Clothe yourselves. Put on the uniform of honor. What is this uniform of honor, what characterizes virtue love? With compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bear with each other, and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. That's impersonal love for all. Forgiving as Christ has forgiven you. Forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. There's our role model, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we look at the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross and the scum of the world around him, the unfair trials, the beatings, his body was laid open. You couldn't even recognize him. And he was nailed and crucified, and he hasn't even committed a sin. He's being crucified with criminals who deserve to die, capital punishment on each side. And he doesn't deserve anything. And he looks and he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He is forgiving man. What is that? Impersonal love for man at his worst. Man at his absolute worst. God, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And it had a major impact. I mean, that's how Jesus Christ operated in virtue love toward everyone, toward the scum of the world. And now it's been given to us. This is what God has given us, a mandate to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, to have virtue love brought to completion in our hearts, that we might forgive impersonal love for all as Jesus Christ forgave. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love. Virtue love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So in fact, the uniform of honor that the church age believer is commanded to put on is the uniform of virtue love, Colossians 3, 12 to 14. 7. Without the attribute of virtue love, God would not be what he is. God is virtue love. Eight, virtue love is the primary motivator of God. The primary motivator of God. God's virtue love is what motivated him to design the plan of salvation, Operation Grace, the cross, for the whole human race, to make everyone in the human race potentially savable. Unlimited atonement, calling for his eternal Son to take on true humanity. Why? To die on a cross. That death that he died was first of all spiritual death, solving the world problem of sin. And he did that for the whole human race. And what motivated God to do that? God is not willing that any should perish. 2 Peter 3:9. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. A change of thinking about Jesus Christ and simply believe in him. God would love to see every member of the human race living with him forever in heaven. But he's given us the same thing he gave the angels. A volition. A volition that can choose for God or against God. He gave the angels a volition. Satan and one third of the angels joined in the revolution against God. We have been given a volition to choose for God or against God. To believe in Christ or not, everyone is potentially savable. And that's why you don't know who's going to believe in Christ. There's times that you look out and you say, well, I know this person's going to believe in Christ. He is conservative and establishment and this, and I know he's just waiting. He will believe in Christ, and he may never believe in Christ. And then there's others that you say, that guy is a total asshole. And I hope he does go to hell. Have you ever thought about that? You ever thought about, well, you know, that guy, I wouldn't mind. I don't want to give him the gospel. And yet that's the one, though, you turn around, that's the one that will believe in Christ. When I was at Wazoo, we lived at a unique time. It was a lot of campus riots going on across the nation. The football stadium at Washington State University was set on fire by some of these people. Everybody knew who it was. And I was at the Cub, that's the Compton Union building, and to get a snack. And the fellow standing right in front of me was the head leader of this group. And I tapped him on the back and he turned around. I said, do you mind if I talk to you about the most important person in my life? He said, no, that's all right, shoot. I said, well, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the most important person in my life. And he went to a cross and paid the penalty for the sins of the whole world. He paid the penalty for all of your sins. And then he offers you a gift, and that gift is eternal life if you simply believe in him. I just knew that God doesn't make mistakes. He sets these things all up to give you an opportunity. If you are prepared, you'll take advantage of it. All of a sudden, he was totally disarmed. He put his head down and he said, my mother tells me the very same thing that you just said. I said, you have a great mother. You have a great mom. I hope you listen to her. God, there's no accident that you're standing here right in front of me. God wants you to hear this again. And I hope you will respond and get, this gives you an opportunity. You're very close to heaven and living with God forever. All you simply have to do is simply believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior. He paid the penalty for your sins once and for all. Now, there's a lot of people I knew on campus, they wouldn't give the gospel to him for anything. They'd rather see him burn. You don't know who's going to believe in Christ and who is not. On our track team, we had several great, great Christians on our track team. All went to Bethany Bible Church. One of them was from Canada, Graham Hutchison. He was a steeplechaser, from the number one steeplechaser in Canada, Graham Hutchison. And he, we became good friends. In fact, we even lived together for a while. And we had also some real jerks on our track team. And Andre Cole, worked with Campus Crusade for Christ, came into WSU, and his objective is to present the grace gospel. And there were hundreds and hundreds of people, of college students there to hear. He gets to a certain point, then he takes a break, and then after the break, he gives the gospel. Well, one of the fellows on our track team was a pole vaulter. Now, we had one pole vaulter, Jack Ernst, a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, great guy. We had another pole vaulter who was just a total jerk. And we're going over to the University of Washington to have a track meet with the Huskies. And Jack Ernst and I are sitting next to each other, and this fella behind, he goes, Olson, Olson. I said, yes. He said, were you at that Andre Cole show last night? I said, yes, I was. He said, well, my girlfriend, I had to take her home and I left at the break. What did he say? What did he say after the break? And I go, well. He said, the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross and paid the penalty for all your sins on the cross. If you believe in him, you go to heaven. If you don't, you're going to hell. I turned back around and then, Olson, now what do I do? I looked at Jack Ernst. He looked at me. Now what do you do? You mean you just now believed in Jesus Christ? Yes. Now what do I do? I never would have guessed in a million years this guy would believe in Christ. I didn't even want him to believe in Christ. And so we started going over eternal security passages. And we stopped at the Cascade Mountains and took a break. We went out and he said, you know, Dick, he said, I've gone over this pass hundreds of times and I never saw. Now I go over this path and I see Jesus Christ created all this, didn't he? I said, yes, he did. He says, wow, this is really great. Well, that guy, well, by the way, we went over the track meet with the Huskies. We killed those damn Huskies. One thing, we're not like our football team. They lost to the damn Huskies, but we never lost to the Huskies. That's one thing. There will be crowns and rewards in heaven. And for that, not ever losing to those damn Huskies. By the way, Air Force beat San Diego State, didn't they? Yeah, crowns and rewards for that, too. Well, I went to Dallas Seminary, and someone, we only have one phone on at our Stevenson, not Stevenson, at the dorm there at Dallas. And they come down and say, Olson, somebody's on the phone for you. Okay. And it's the pole vaulter. He said, Dick, I just want to thank you for giving me the gospel. You're, in a way, you're my spiritual father in that you introduced me to Jesus Christ and I believed him as my Savior. And I just wanted to call and say thank you for taking the time to give me the gospel. You don't know who's going to believe in Christ. And those you think won't, you'd be surprised. Those will. Those you think absolutely will, well, they'll surprise you and sometimes they won't. So, virtue love is the primary motivator of God. God's love is virtue love. Therefore, it is free from hypocrisy. God is love whether or not he has something or someone to love. His nature is to bestow himself, to give of himself. And his nature is the same whether or not there is an object for love or an occasion for love. Billions of years before the creation of the universe, God's love was not less because there were no objects, and it is not increased after creation. God is always been, as a part of his very essence, infinite virtue love. Now, you have to understand, point nine, God's love is infinitely superior to human love. There's a major contrast between God's love and human love. And for many people, they think human love is going to carry them, and it doesn't. But God's love is not human love. God's attribute of love is different from human love, which God does not possess. Even if we understand human love, there is no guarantee that we understand God's love. Human love must have an object, but God is love. God is love, regardless of having any object to love. Human love is stimulated by emotion, but God's love contains no emotion. Emotion is essential and wonderful in human love, but infinite God does not feel and emote as do finite beings. God's love needs no support. But that's not true with human love. Human love needs support. Human love requires props. Human love requires reassurance. You know, this is the husband and the wife laying at night in bed, and she, wakes you up. Do you love me? Yes. No. I mean, do you really love me? Yes. Tell me. Let me count the ways. Let's see. They want reassurance. They want faithfulness on the part of the object being loved. But God's love does not. One of the props in human love is response. Very few people have the ability to love someone consistently without some positive response to their love. Nothing cools off human love in a marriage relationship like antagonism or indifference. However, God keeps right on loving the loser believer with virtue love. When that believer is out of fellowship with God, God loves you with virtue love. Living in Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred, God loves you with virtue love. Negative to Bible doctrine, God loves you with virtue love. Indifferent and antagonistic to God, God loves you with virtue love. In fact, that love, those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines. Hebrews 12. That divine discipline to the believer living out of fellowship with God and Satan's cosmic system, why does He love you? Why does He discipline you? Because He loves you with virtue love. And that's why He spanks you. Therefore, God is infinitely superior to human love. God's love is infinitely superior to human love. Unlike human love, God's love has no strings attached to it. Frequently, human love is characterized by the concept, if you will be nice to me, I will be nice to you. But God's love is so phenomenal, He can love the loser believer who is arrogant and antagonistic to Him in his entire Christian life, just as much as the winner believer who serves Him faithfully. So point 10, God's love is related to His other attributes. God's love is related to His other attributes. For example, 1, it's related to His sovereignty. The sovereignty, because it is self-motivated. Related to His sovereignty because it's self-motivated. 2, it is related to His absolute righteousness and perfect justice, His holiness, His integrity. And therefore, God's love is infinitely fair and righteous and just. Three, God's righteousness and justice is the basis for divine impersonal love to the entire human race. God's absolute righteousness and justice is the basis for divine impersonal love to the entire human race. 4, God's absolute righteousness and perfect justice is the basis for divine impersonal love to all mankind in Operation Grace, the cross. God's absolute righteousness and justice is the basis for divine impersonal love to all mankind in Operation Grace, the cross. 5. God's love is related to eternal life, and therefore it does not have a beginning nor an end. God's love is related to His eternal life, and therefore it does not have a beginning nor an end. 6. God's love is related to His omnipresence, and therefore God's virtue love can reach every member of the human race wherever He lives in the world. God's love is related to omnipresence, and therefore God's virtue love can reach every member of the human race wherever he lives in the world. 7, God's love is related to his omnipotence, and therefore he has the ability and power to love the world with virtue love because of the cross. Eight, God's love is not canceled by God's omniscience. He knows all about man. He knows man's spiritual death and total depravity. He knows all about the fact that man is ungodly, Romans 5:6. He knows that man is sinners, Romans 5:8. He knows that mankind are his enemies, Romans 5:10. And God still loved the world with virtue love. So God's virtue love is not canceled by God's omniscience. 9, God's love is related to his immutability, and therefore it cannot be better or worse. It is unchanging. God's love is related to his immutability, and therefore it cannot be better or worse. It is unchanging. 10, God's love is related to his veracity, and therefore it is absolute truth. Point 11. Virtue love is directed toward mankind. Virtue love is directed toward mankind. Let's amplify this. 1, God's virtue love directed toward man is composed of both personal love and impersonal love. Impersonal love is unconditional for all. Personal love is conditional for a few. God's personal love, God has infinite personal love for his own righteousness. He loves his righteousness. He loves his justice. Throughout the Word of God, we have God loves his righteousness and justice. God loves the other members of the Trinity. God the Father loves the Son and the Spirit with infinite personal love. Why? Because they have absolute righteousness and perfect justice. God loves anywhere where his righteousness goes. To the one who believes in Jesus Christ, God imputes his righteousness to you. And he loves you with infinite personal love because you have his righteousness. So personal love depends on the character of the one doing the loving. God, what is his character? Absolute righteousness and perfect justice. He loves his righteousness. He loves the other members of the Trinity because they have absolute righteousness. He loves everyone who believes in Christ because he imputes his righteousness to you. That is infinite personal love. But it's always going to righteousness, which God loves. Personal love is conditional. You have to have the righteousness of God. Impersonal love is unconditional to all. So, 2, impersonal love emphasizes the subject of love, the one doing the loving. God is absolute righteousness and perfect justice. And therefore, he can have impersonal love unconditionally for the entire human race. Because God is absolute righteousness and perfect justice, he can have impersonal love for all mankind. While personal love emphasizes the object of love. God loves his righteousness, and wherever his righteousness resides, he loves that with infinite personal love. 3, the function of impersonal love is not changed by who and what the object is. It's not changed by all the arrogance and sin and human good and evil of the object. The function of impersonal love is unconditional to all. So it's not changed by who and what the object is. Not changed by all the arrogance, sin, evil of the object. 4, impersonal love is integrity directed toward all, in contrast to personal love, which is directed toward a few. Impersonal love is unconditional, directed toward all. Personal love is conditional, directed toward a few. And that's the plan of God. So, virtue love related to the plan of God. Point five. In phase one of the plan of God, salvation, divine impersonal love is directed to the entire human race. John 3:16, Romans 5:8. So in phase one, salvation and the plan of God, divine impersonal love is directed toward the entire human race. It's unconditional to all mankind. John 3:16, Romans 5:8. Six. In phase one, salvation, divine personal love is directed to the few who respond to the grace of God and believe in Jesus Christ. For now they possess the imputed righteousness of God, justification by faith. So phase one, salvation, divine personal love is conditional, is directed to the few, to those few who respond to the grace of God and believe in Jesus Christ. For now they possess imputed righteousness. Divine personal love always is directed toward His righteousness, which He loves. He loves His own righteousness. He loves the righteousness of the other members of the Godhead. He loves the righteousness every believer in Jesus Christ has because God imputes His righteousness to them. Point seven. In phase two of the plan of God, the believer in time, divine impersonal love is directed toward all believers in sending down the grace pipeline from the justice of God to imputed righteousness, 40 salvation blessings. That goes to every single believer at the moment of faith in Christ. And logistical grace, blessing, and support, which He's given to all believers to keep you alive in the middle of the devil's world so that you can start making good decisions. We're not here forever on earth. This is our temporary home. Our home is in... Our citizenship is in heaven, not here. And so God gives us all logistical grace, blessing, and support so that somewhere along the line, the light goes on. And you realize that there's nothing more important than God and His Word. And so you grow up in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. You have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. So in phase two, the believer in time, divine impersonal love is directed to all believers, unconditional to all believers, in sending down that grace pipeline from justice to imputed righteousness, 40 salvation blessings, and logistical grace, blessing, and support every day while you're here. Eight, in phase two, divine personal love is directed to the few believers who grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, advance to spiritual maturity, and then God is free to send down to those few greater grace blessings for time. Spiritual blessing, temporal blessing, blessing by association, historical impact, suffering for blessing, dying grace blessing. So in phase two, the believer in time, divine personal love is conditional. It's directed to the few believers who advance to spiritual maturity, have grace, right, have virtue, love brought to completion in their heart. And by sending down that grace pipeline, greater grace blessing for time. Nine, in phase three, the believer in eternity, divine impersonal love is unconditional. It's directed toward all believers by providing eternal security and a resurrection body. All believers will receive a resurrection body. All believers have eternal security. It's impossible to lose your salvation. That is divine impersonal love directed toward all believers. Unconditional. Every believer has eternal salvation and will receive a resurrection body. No matter how a believer fails, no matter how much sin, human good, and evil he produces, God keeps on loving him with divine impersonal love because God's impersonal love depends on His righteousness and justice, not yours. 10. In phase 3, divine personal love is directed to the few believers, conditional to the few believers who seize and hold the high ground of spiritual maturity, until physical death or the rapture, and he receives greater grace blessings for eternity at the judgment seat of Christ. And these blessings glorify God forever and ever and ever. So in phase three, divine personal love is directed to the few believers who seize and hold the high ground of spiritual maturity until physical death or the rapture. And you receive these greater grace blessings from the Lord Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ. How awesome is that going to be? We haven't seen him. We will. Every one of us. We'll all see him at the judgment seat of Christ. And I'll be there too, by the way. And I hope I don't see any of you there and I go, oh, shit. That's one of my congregation. No, I expect you all. I want to stand there and say, there's a winner believer. He lives a spiritual life by the spiritual skills. He grew up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. I want to hear Jesus Christ say to you, well done, good and faithful servant. I hope I hear that with each one of you. Well done. Great job. Good and faithful servant. I hope. There's no reason why that is not true for every one of you. We're going to be there, by the way, quicker than you think. Now, I'm not saying the rapture is going to happen right now. It'll happen right after class. But no. But if it doesn't and it delays, well, you're going to all die. That's a good thing. That's dessert. I love dessert. That's chocolate pie, whipped cream, maraschino cherry. Now, chocolate pie the way my mother made it, not the way a lot of you make it. This is chocolate pudding pie. Great stuff. Thick, heavy. One thing I can't understand is angel food cake. Why would anybody want to eat air? Give me devil's food cake. At least it's heavy. Not that I like the devil, but at least it's heavy. All right, well, let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.